Task 2. You will hear part of a program. Read through the notes below and complete them by filling in the gaps with the words you hear. Gap 0 is an example. Now read the notes.
My guest today is Professor Alexander Watson. He is Professor of History at Goldsmiths, University of London. Professor Watson's research focuses on conflict and identity in East Central Europe, and he works on the social, cultural, and military aspects of total war, and on the rise of national consciousness, minority integration, and pre-Holocaust plans of ethnic cleansing. He has written extensively on these topics, concentrating particularly on the era of the First World War. His first monograph, Enduring the Great War, Combat, Morale, and Collapse in the German and British Armies, 1914 to 1918, is a comparative and interdisciplinary investigation of German and British military resilience on the Western Front. It examines how soldiers coped psychologically and how military institutions functioned to support and coerce them. And it provides a new explanation for why the German army ultimately broke down in 1918. He followed that up with the book we will talk about today, the widely acclaimed Ring of Steel, Germany and Austria-Hungary at War, 1914 to 1918, which offers a history of the Great War from the Central Powers' perspectives and explains how this total war bequeathed a fateful legacy of impoverishment, political extremism, and racial hatred to East Central Europe. Professor Watson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'd like to begin our conversation today by asking you about the genesis of this book. I'm curious what made you want to write this book. As I mentioned in the introduction, your first book was about the British and German armies and how they managed to get through the conflict, endure this kind of conflict. So in a way, it was a more specialized monograph. What made you want to write or to focus on the experience of the Central Powers in the war?
There were a few things that made me want to write this. The first was that since Herwig's book came out, there'd been quite a big historiographical shift. People before had been, above all, when they wrote books about war, they'd written about the battlefields and about the high politics. But what makes 20th century war so distinctive is that it's not just about the battlefields and it's not just about high politics either. These are people's war, Volkskriege. They're wars which involve the entirety of nations, the entirety of empires, whole populations. Mm-hmm. And so actually thinking about the First World War in these much broader terms, not only taking in the political and the military, but also taking in the social and cultural and seeing ordinary people as actors in this seemed to me to be really important in terms of understanding the war and also understanding the consequences of the war, the societal hatreds, the political polarizations that come out of this catastrophic conflict. So that was one thing. Second thing was, I thought there was loads of opportunity to shift to the East as well. Everything on Germany, at least the general histories, and Austria-Hungary, they've been very Germanocentric. And of course, Austria-Hungary is a key player in this war. It's an empire which has 11 different languages. I speak Polish as well as German. And I thought you know, there's more to this than just simply the German point of view. So I wanted to bring in the East as well. And of course, Timothy Snyder's Bloodlands had come out sort of quite recently too. People thinking more about East Central Europe. And it seemed to me that you could roll that story back to 1914. If you could give a much more Eastern perspective on it rather than just simply looking at sort of Central Germany.
Let me give you an opportunity to tell us about your most recent book, which, as you mentioned, is called The Fortress. And I'll let you tell us what it's about.
So thanks for that. So the Fortress is about still about the First World War, about events happened in 1914-15. It centers around one fortress city on the edge of the Habsburg Empire in what today is southern Poland, called Przemyśl. And the book does two things. One is it's just a great story. It's a great story of the longest siege in the First World War, a siege between the this Habsburg garrison and mm-hmm. a much larger Russian army. And it's about how the war radicalized very quickly in this area. It tells the story of that siege and how that siege affected the First World War. That's the first part of it. And I've got lots of really great personal testimonies and jokes from the garrison and diaries and all sorts of other things which really bring it alive. But the other reason why I wrote the book is to really cement this idea that if we want to understand what goes so horribly wrong in Europe in the 20th century, why especially East Central Europe, which is the epicenter of the disaster in the mid 20th century with both Nazi and Soviet cleansings and genocides, then it's not enough simply to start with Hitler and Stalin. Then, in fact, it's not even enough to start with the Russian Revolution. That actually the year zero for Europe's 20th century catastrophe is 1914 with the outbreak of this cataclysmic war. And zooming down on one city right in the middle of this disaster, right in the epicenter, multi-ethnic city, lots of Jews there, Poles, Ukrainians. I just wanted to bring out the human consequences of that and make this argument that to understand why this part of the world is so ravaged, it's at 1914 that we need to begin.
Professor Watson, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, listen again.
My guest today is Professor Alexander Watson. He is Professor of History at Goldsmiths, University of London. Professor Watson's research focuses on conflict and identity in East Central Europe, and he works on the social, cultural, and military aspects of total war, and on the rise of national consciousness, minority integration, and pre-Holocaust plans of ethnic cleansing. He has written extensively on these topics, concentrating particularly on the era of the First World War. His first monograph, Enduring the Great War, Combat, Morale, and Collapse in the German and British Armies, 1914 to 1918, is a comparative and interdisciplinary investigation of German and British military resilience on the Western Front. It examines how soldiers coped psychologically and how military institutions functioned to support and coerce them. And it provides a new explanation for why the German army ultimately broke down in 1918. He followed that up with the book we will talk about today, the widely acclaimed Ring of Steel, Germany and Austria-Hungary at War, 1914 to 1918, which offers a history of the Great War from the Central Powers' perspectives and explains how this total war bequeathed a fateful legacy of impoverishment, political extremism, and racial hatred to East Central Europe. Professor Watson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'd like to begin our conversation today by asking you about the genesis of this book. I'm curious what made you want to write this book. As I mentioned in the introduction, your first book was about the British and German armies and how they managed to get through the conflict, endure this kind of conflict. So in a way, it was a more specialized monograph. What made you want to write or to focus on the experience of the Central Powers in the war?
There were a few things that made me want to write this. The first was that since Herwig's book came out, there'd been quite a big historiographical shift. People before had been, above all, when they wrote books about war, they'd written about the battlefields and about the high politics. But what makes 20th century war so distinctive is that it's not just about the battlefields and it's not just about high politics either. These are people's war, Volkskriege. They're wars which involve the entirety of nations, the entirety of empires, whole populations. Mm-hmm. And so actually thinking about the First World War in these much broader terms, not only taking in the political and the military, but also taking in the social and cultural, and seeing ordinary people as actors in this, seemed to me to be really important in terms of understanding the war and also understanding the consequences of the war, the societal hatreds, the political polarizations that come out of this catastrophic conflict. So that was one thing. Second thing was, I thought there was loads of opportunity to shift to the East as well. Everything on Germany, at least the general histories, and Austria-Hungary, they've been very Germanocentric. And of course, Austria-Hungary is a key player in this war. It's an empire which has 11 different languages. I speak Polish as well as German. And I thought, you know, there's more to this than just simply the German point of view. So I wanted to bring in the East as well. And of course, Timothy Snyder's Bloodlands had come out sort of quite recently too. People were thinking more about East Central Europe. And it seemed to me that you could roll that story back to 1914. If you could give a much more Eastern perspective on it rather than just simply looking at sort of Central Germany.
Let me give you an opportunity to tell us about your most recent book, which, as you mentioned, is called The Fortress. And well, I'll let you tell us what it's about.
So thanks for that. So the Fortress is about still about the First World War, about events happened in 1914-15. It centers around one fortress city on the edge of the Habsburg Empire in what today is southern Poland, called Przemyśl. And The book does two things. One is it's just a great story. It's a great story of the longest siege in the First World War, a siege between the this Habsburg garrison and a much larger Russian army. And it's about how the war radicalized very quickly in this area. It tells the story of that siege and how that siege affected the First World War. That's the first part of it. And I've got lots of really great personal testimonies and jokes from the garrison and diaries and all sorts of other things which really bring it alive. But the other reason why I wrote the book is to really cement this idea that if we want to understand what goes so horribly wrong in Europe in the 20th century, why especially East Central Europe, which is the epicenter of the disaster in the mid-20th century with both Nazi and Soviet cleansings and genocides, then it's not enough simply to start with Hitler and Stalin. Then, in fact, it's not even enough to start with the Russian Revolution. That actually the year zero for Europe's 20th century catastrophe is 1914 with the outbreak of this cataclysmic war. And zooming down on one city right in the middle of this disaster, right in the epicenter, multi-ethnic city, lots of Jews there, Poles, Ukrainians. I just wanted to bring out the human consequences of that and make this argument that to understand why this part of the world is so ravaged, it's at 1914 that we need to begin.
Professor Watson, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
This is the end of task 2.